Welcome to this episode of Games UX. This is a slightly different take. We'll start a new series called Week in Review. And the idea of this is that instead of focusing on an entire game for an entire episode, we'll kind of talk about some of the things that have changed in games that are being developed in an ongoing fashion as those things come up. So we've got three games that we're going to talk about today, a little bit about Destiny 2, a little bit about Overwatch, and a little bit about Fortnite. We have two guests today. I'd love them if they'd introduce themselves first. On my left, I have Mr. Nathan. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Great. Nathan has been on the show before, and Jason, who is on my philosophical right, has also been on the show before. Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Great. Welcome. So let's get right into it. So I'd like to start at the high level, which is that Destiny 2 came out like a year ago, something about that now, was very exciting for a period of time, and then descended into what I think most players thought was a bad game for various reasons. But I would say since the last update, I've been playing it like basically nonstop. And so have you, Nathan. Is that not true?
Yeah, pretty much nonstop.
And for all of the things that were like problematic earlier on, a lot of them are already solved in my mind. Like the game is actually fun to play for an extended period of time again.
I agree. I thought Warmind, the last DLC, brought with it lots of reasons to play the game again, whereas the prior DLC, Curse of Osiris, did not bring many reasons to play the game.
Yeah, we like leveled up through Curse of Osiris, and as soon as we had gotten to the max sort of level, everyone just stopped playing it, and it was like quick to get there as well.
Yeah.
But there's a upcoming DLC called Forsaken in the fall, and even before that hits, next week we're getting another update that has like a lot of cool stuff in it already. And one of the things they're bringing back is bounties, which was in Destiny 1. And I really enjoyed the bounty system in Destiny 1 just for the pure chance that I would choose some things to do and then do them. It felt like a great system, and I'm super happy they're bringing it back.
Yeah, so I didn't play a ton of Destiny 1 and therefore don't really have any experience with the bounties from Destiny 1, but I did read the description in the last blog update Bungie did, where they detailed what the bounties for Destiny 2 are going to entail. And I have to say, I was somewhat nonplussed with them, but again, I don't have the context from Destiny 1. So I'm interested to hear maybe how you enjoyed them, Charlie,
coming from Destiny 1, like when I started playing Destiny 2, I didn't even recognize the challenges were happening. Like I kind of saw them on the side of the screen and never even thought about it. But in Destiny 1, the bounties felt just like the same type of thing, except I get to choose the stuff that I'm good at, right? So like maybe I think that getting 100 thrall kill will be something fun for me. So I get to choose that one. I get to like choose the things that I was going to do and then pursue them on my own at my own sort of speed and time. So a lot of people would stack the bounties so they knew that they were going to go do like a nightfall, and they were like, oh, well, I can like choose this one and this one now and pound both of those out while I'm doing this nightfall anyway. It felt like it's like just a little extra part of the game where you can kind of choose to get extra rewards by like being a little crafty in how you like line them up.
Okay, see, that actually sounds interesting. I mean, they're called bounties, so I assumed that the objectives would largely entail killing specific enemies, which is super cool because none of the other challenges that we have currently, certainly not on a day-to-day basis, involve like targeted kills on enemies. So that alone sounds fun, even disregarding any sort of rewards that we get for them. Mixing them into other activities like strikes or nightfall or even raid, even cooler, because then like if any of those activities have become somewhat stale, as they kind of tend to do, we can mix it up and like now we're kind of trying to do two things at once. So yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, and the thing about the challenges that isn't fun to me, I've like grown to enjoy it more over the course of time once I truly understood the challenges system, but the challenge is just like you don't get to see the challenges until you're starting the activity. So you start Iron Banner and now you recognize, oh, I have to get like 3 super kills or whatever, or kill right. 2 people. It's kind of just like they spring you on. It springs on you in the moment that you're about to be playing. It just feels like a little weirder than making an intentional decision. Like, I want to do this thing. And when I go do this other thing, that's when I should be focusing on it, right?
Yep. Exactly. That's sounds much better than, yeah, the current kind of daily challenges that we get, which, as you described, are pretty like hidden and difficult to like manage.
Okay, so another thing comparing to Destiny 1 is that in Destiny 1, the Nightfall was always harder than the Heroic Strikes. And in Destiny 2 now, especially this sort of like almost late year 1 stuff, like the Heroic Strikes are often much harder than the Nightfall. And that's because of the modifiers that are on the Heroic Strikes. But they are changing those. You know more about this than me, right?
Yeah, so I'm kind of bummed out that Nightfalls are like not as hard as Heroic Strikes anymore. And the only going into a little bit of history, how we arrived at the point where Nightfall, the thing that was supposed to be like the, oh my, like basically the raid each week for the people who like can't actually do a raid, is now like second fiddle to Heroic Strikes, is because people complained whenever Curse of Osiris came out that they were locked out of the Nightfall if they didn't buy Curse of Osiris. And probably most of them bought Curse of Osiris. They were just complaining to complain. And now Bungie is like, all right, sorry, here. And now Nightfall will never be as difficult as Heroic Strikes anymore. But so that's kind of a bummer. But that aside, yes, some of the Heroic Strikes were just, within the modifiers, they were just broken. It was like they didn't even test them. Like, you'd go into specific strikes with specific modifiers. One of the worst offenders being the modifier that makes enemy melees kill you instantly. In most cases, that was fine, but then there were certain situations, like there's one boss fight in particular where you're constantly being swarmed by these very just easy to kill adds, but they just run up and melee you, and you're just dying constantly because of these tiny little adds that can one-shot you now because of this modifier, and it's just not fun anymore. And I don't know why they ever thought it was going to be fun. So I'm happy that they're addressing that, and they're addressing it before Forsaken in September.
Yeah. A little thing they're adding to the game is clan chat, which allows like a clan of people who are in the same clan to have a running conversation in the game. I'm like half and half on this one. Like, our clan uses Discord. It's like a much better chat service than an in-game sort of chat. But I guess it's kind of useful, like if you're in the game currently, I'd imagine being like looking for people to raid or something, that might be a useful way. I'm assuming that it would like present that on the screen to the people who are playing live. I don't know. Am I missing something about that?
No, I think you're right. I think this is basically for people who don't have Discord, which
but like on PC is probably like a very, yeah, very small percentage.
Yeah. And like, this is great for people who don't have Discord, especially for console players. Like, they now they have like a hub where they can talk to all their clan members. And I assume these messages will also come through in the Destiny app. I assume that's how that'll work, which, you know,
I believe so. Yeah. Like, clan chat's already, like, I don't actually keep the app on my phone, but I know on the website you could see the clan chat and it's an ongoing conversation. So I assume it's mirrored everywhere then.
So yeah, this is a nice thing for them to do, but, you know, doesn't have a large impact on those of us who call Discord home.
Yeah. Okay, next topic, they are removing Prismatic Matrix from Eververse. I could talk about Eververse for basically an hour, just sort of complaining about it. But Prismatic Matrix, I've never understood it. Like, I don't know why it pops up. I don't know why I have to use the right mouse button to activate it. I don't understand what rewards it ever gives me. I just do it to clear the notification that there's something happening at TESS. Do you know how it works?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of thought put into this, it doesn't seem. Like, they tacked it on because people wanted more ways to unlock more Eververse stuff. And you basically get like one a week, And I'm not even sure how you acquire it. Like, the week starts and you start doing stuff, and then by day like two or three, usually I've got a new prismatic matrix and I don't know when I got it or why. But then, yeah, there's like a rotating list of like 10 Eververse items every week that you can potentially grab one of by using your matrix, your item that cashes in and unlocks one of those 10 things randomly, assuming you don't already have it unlocked. It's a guaranteed way to get a new Eververse item every week. And while that's cool, it was very half-baked, as you mentioned. The interaction with it is confusing, and it's not explained what is actually happening. And so it makes sense that they're removing it. And they said they're bringing it back, but in a different form for Forsaken. So hopefully that'll be better.
Okay, and then our last Destiny topic, which is probably my favorite of the things on the list right now, which is Moments of Triumph is running again. I don't know. Have you been looking into Moments of Triumph?
I did look into it. I haven't started deliberately progressing any of them that I haven't finished yet, because I don't really understand what all I'm going to get out of it yet. They kind of teased some things you're going to get, including a t-shirt that you pay $25 for after you unlock the ability to purchase it.
Is that that's like level three, right? If you get to level three, then you can buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, something like ridiculous like that. But seemingly there's going to be some unique armor that they also teased for it, which cool. And there's going to be additional challenges that are going to become available at the end of the month. So great. Just like with the bounties we talked about at the beginning, like the more challenges, the better, because there needs to be more reasons to shoot things in this game.
Yeah. Like, for example, like when I looked through it, I was like, latent memories. I never finished that. There was no chance I would ever go back and capture all the latent memories. Right. But this was like, well, maybe I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's like reasons to do things that maybe you didn't really feel like you had a reason to do before, which is cool.
And it's a good thing that they're introducing it now, just because the next month is going to be real dry for the game. Like, they're adding the heroic raids, or no, the prestige raids next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And then after that, the game's like going to probably coast for a month or two.
If they weren't doing this update, like I probably wouldn't even play the game anymore until September. Like, I'm already kind of feeling like, all right, I've kind of done everything now. And there's been a ton of stuff. Like, when did Warmind come out? It's like 2 months ago at least now.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, a month and a half to 2 months. Probably 2 months. I don't know the date.
And it's just been kind of nonstop, and it's been great. But I'm excited they're doing this little update for these little new things they're giving us give us some stuff to do while we wait for the big drop in September.
I think it's advantageous to the game to like let people take some time off too, because we're pretty much max level. Like, if we want to do any of these things, they're like pretty much for fun at this point. It's not like a big deal. I think the prestige raids is kind of like a cool extra activity to give people to kill some time, but it's actually like advantageous, I think, that people just take a little moment off, and then when it comes back with Forsaken, I think that's when people can really like indulge their time back in it again. So
I am pretty excited for the prestige raid layers though. They're doing unique stuff with it. They're basically turning them into like heroic strikes. Like, they're gonna have modifiers that rotate on a week-to-week basis, and they're gonna be unique to the raid layers. No other activity is gonna have these kinds of modifiers that they're gonna have, and there's gonna be unique rewards, 400 power level weapons and exclusive catalysts to unlock that you can only get from these prestige raid layers. So
yeah, that sounds exciting. I want to do that.
Oh yeah, I totally want to do that. That's what's going to keep me playing this game until September.
It's a bummer that like I feel the least confident with the raid layers compared to the normal raid though.
Yeah, but hey, it's reason to get more confident at them.
Yeah. Anything else for Destiny this week?
I don't think
so. I have a question. Just generally, how is Destiny, how do you think that Bungie is deciding to make these changes? I think that like every game tries to be involved with the community and get community feedback. It seems like you've enjoyed the changes they've made. Is there an outlet that Bungie turns to hear feedback or
excellent question. Excellent question. It's more than that for Destiny, because Destiny had a major problem. When Destiny 2 came out, it sort of made a wide set of changes, which alienated the original Destiny crowd. This game was more casual than the first game. And I think it is unclear why those changes were necessarily made. I can only assume that maybe the parent company just said this will make the game more accessible, or maybe Bungie really thought that from their level. Regardless, it seems like Bungie was taken aback by how much people reacted negatively to this. Because I think in their videos, in their conversations with the community, they've been apologetic, straight up apologetic almost about that they want to make the game that people want to play. And they held something which was a community summit where they invited all these sort of popular streamers and stuff who play the game to come talk to them in person. They went to Bungie Studios and just sat there for 2 days, working through what people felt were major issues with the game. And apparently have incorporated this feedback into their development process. They also opened up their development roadmap to people, which they never did before, so that people could kind of see what was coming and what they were going to do. And it was there's all a huge system of accountability now, and it's all handled in public, which I think was very awkward for Bungie. This is not something that they wanted to do or were prepared to do. Conversely, when we get to Fortnite, we can talk about the differences there between Epic and Bungie, but that's my take on it. What do you think, Nathan?
Yeah, the backlash was pretty bad at the beginning of Destiny 2, and I think it cut into the sales and the ongoing income for the game pretty hard, and so they I think were basically forced to just kind of reset, all right, we did this wrong, what do you guys want? And they've pretty much every single significant change they've made this year has been directly addressing a specific complaint from the community, which is fantastic. They're incorporating feedback directly, and they're doing it at a pretty quick pace. There was the Go Fast update back in the first quarter of the year, and then Warmind brought some more quality of life improvements, and then this update coming next week is another big quality of life update. So they kind of got backed into a corner, and instead of doubling down, they've just been tell us what you want and we'll do it. And they've been doing it, and the game's subsequently getting good again.
I think they have presented it that way. Definitely. Well, you talk to us and we're going to do it, but they are definitely a very opinionated group of people still. And there are certain things that when they, for example, random roles or something coming back, what's the example? I don't know. They take things and they don't want to do it exactly like Destiny 1, which makes sense. They want to put their unique spin on it now. And I think that's smart, actually, because if you just reverted to the game that already existed, people would probably get bored of that as well. So trying to address the problems that people are stating and still bring their innovation process to it it's a hard challenge. And I'm sure that it has been an emotional time there over the past year. But it really seems for me that the game is back on track, and it sounds like the fall update will, I think, get people totally back into the game. And that's exciting. Did that answer your question, Jason?
That definitely answered my question.
Okay. Well, that is our Destiny update. So the next topic I wanted to mention, this one is a straight up user experience sort of thing, is that have either of you played Overwatch?
No, but I've watched other people on Twitch for some reason.
Same.
Yeah. Are you guys aware that it is it has been a pretty toxic game for a lot of people?
I was not aware of that, actually.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, it's there's a group, there's a team chat in Overwatch, but you can also chat against the other team. If it's 6v6, if you were playing competitors, you could literally talk bad stuff to the other team and they could see it. I don't know if it was right as the game rolled out, but early on at the very least, they had rolled out a lot of techniques of if you would write something really mean, it would display on the other person's screen as something like really nice or something. So they'd be like, or not nice, but it was like, if I swore at someone, it would be displayed on their screen as like, people didn't treat me nice growing up or something. Like it was kind of like trying to lighten the mood, but in a lot of ways felt just even worse. Cause you're like, what the fuck did they say? Or like, it created a really like nervous, competitive, angry environment for players. Well, I've always wondered how they were going to solve that because it was like kind of bad. And they rolled out two features in the last update, which were one is a looking for group feature where you can like scope the type of group you're looking for. So like, let's say you're a healer, well, you can like kind of be like, I don't want any healers, but I want, defensive players and offensive players or whatnot. Or maybe I'm looking for people who will be willing to do like voice chat during the game or whatever. So basically you can scope your game searches for your teammates, which is one thing. But two, they added something called endorsements, which is at the end of the game, it's sort of like what you do to like your Lyft driver or like Uber driver. It's like, oh, thanks. Like your car was clean and you were a friendly conversation. They actually like surface these things at the end of the game for your teammates. So you could be like, the healer was like a really good teammate or I forgot what all the choices were. I played it this morning just to test it out, but it was like, it completely changed. It changes the vibe of the game now. Like everyone's like, even if it's not like actually true, it feels so supportive and you'll get like little rewards, like you're a good teammate or whatever. You're like, oh, thanks. Like it just, even if you win or lose, you feel like much better. Like people are helping each other out. And I think it's like pretty much a genius way to handle the problem. Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, certainly toxicity is not unique to Overwatch. Right. the situation that you described does sound pretty bad. And maybe to a certain degree, it is in fact unique to Overwatch. But I've never heard of a game implementing like a rating system like that and like surfacing it so like strongly.
I didn't mention this, but you actually rank up your like good, like friendly player, like in rating endorsement. It actually ranks up over time too. So like you could be like a really friendly player and it'll display it next to your name.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So League of Legends, which I know I'm bringing another game, but they also had like a toxicity problem, which I think kind of started going away, but they had a similar thing where at the end of each game, you could say, I forget what the options were. I think there were maybe three options. It was like this person like listened well, or like, I forget what the other options were, but yeah, in the end it would, if you got enough of those, it would become this emblem that was next to your profile, like when the game was loading. So it's like, other people can see it, the other team can see it, and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'll be excited to see how it works out over time. It's like, it is a bit heavy-handed for the end of the game because you can actually do this stuff while the play of the game is running or while you're seeing the statistics at the end of the game. So I think in some ways it distracts people from the experience of like what happens after the match, but I think it's just like a nice way to build support and make it feel friendlier because you never heard from like the players who were like, oh, like you did good, right? Like you couldn't feel that at all in the game. And now you like understand like there's other people out there that have good intent. So I think it just really changes the dynamics of that.
I wonder though, if people are going to abuse it, like to downvote teammates who maybe just aren't as high of a skill level,
mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, this person sucked. I'm just going to say that they're a terrible player and, you know, give them really bad feedback, even though maybe they're trying their best. They're just, you know, not up to par. Maybe the matchmaking just failed or something.
It only allows positive feedback. There's like, it's like, there's no option for negative feedback. You can either choose to do nothing or you can celebrate someone in one of like three ways. They actually gave statistics on this, and they said the percentage of competitive chat or competitive matches that contain abusive chat is down 26% in the Americas, and the percentage of daily players being abusive total was down like 29% in Americas. So that's pretty crazy. Those numbers were higher in the US than they were in Korea, of note. So I don't know if Korea had less of a problem or if it was just somehow more beneficial to this culture, but interesting. Okay. Topic number three, a game called Fortnite. So season number five started of Fortnite this week. Jason Cash Dollar had messaged me to say, are we going to play? And we have.
We have.
So there's a lot of updates. Number one, the map is pretty different. Jason, tell us about it.
Yeah, they changed. It's been kind of fun. So I started playing in season four, season three, I guess. So I've only seen two major seasons roll out. And one of the things that they all do for the start of the season is change a section of the map, or like a few sections of the map, pretty drastically. And this time they changed, like, they added some new places. They replaced some old locations with like newer buildings, or like one of them got a farm, got turned into a golf course. It was kind of exciting to see what they were going to do, because they kind of leak out little teasers every once in a while. And then to actually finally see it on the day that season five rolled out was exciting.
Okay. Yeah. So basically I think the map is way better actually, because it feels denser. Like all of these areas that didn't have anything before actually have stuff now. The areas that felt like not fully fleshed out feel way more interesting. I don't know what that area is even called. That's like up on top of the one mountain with the like pirate ship and stuff. It's like a surprising little area. Like you'd never land there ever before. And now it's a pretty interesting like mini town.
Yeah. And like it's interesting. They didn't even name that location. So a lot of people, I think, don't go there, but then it's like this pleasant sort of Easter egg, which, I mean, it's not an Easter egg, because it's not that hard to find, but yeah, now more people will go there. I think they did some other things to make the map feel a little bit more dense. Like they have these rifts, which once you go in them, you can throw your parachute again and pretty much go a lot farther and faster than you can by running. And I think they kind of did that so that if you are on the outskirts of the map, you can easily get to the storm. Because I think some games, you spend most of the time just chasing the storm and trying to make it to the circle. So now they have these rifts where like that kind of helps the map feel a little bit smaller too.
Yeah, there always seems like there's an option to get to the circle now. Like there's something you can do to like get there faster if something is a problem, which is the perfect time to mention the golf cart.
Yes, the golf cart, which I was really surprised when I first started playing this game that there weren't vehicles, because it felt so, the map feels so big. And again, like you can spend all game just sort of running around. But the golf cart's been kind of funny, and I like it's for your whole squad, so four people can fit in it. And I like how loud it is, so they kind of balance it to not make it give the team like too much of an advantage. But it adds like an element of play to the game. You can sort of skid out and get a little bit of a boost, similar to something like Mario Kart, which is kind of like a fun take on adding a vehicle to the game.
I didn't know how much I missed vehicles in the game until the cart was in the game, because one thing that PUBG does really well, I think, is gives you these vehicles that give you away. They're loud, people know you're coming, and you're all together in tight quarters. But at the same time, they're really useful. They'll get you around the map, and they also like kind of are intimidating in a way. And the cart is just like that. They like really nailed it. It's not too fast, it's not too slow. You're all together on this thing, but you can still like shoot from it, but you're like more of a target because you're like in a single area and someone could just throw a perfect grenade or rocket at you, right? It's really good.
Yeah, I think we were playing the other night and we were about to get caught in the storm. Then we found a golf cart and we were able to drive to it pretty quickly. And it was nice because it just like relieved this layer of stress in the game of just like, oh no, we're going to get caught in the storm. And we got to the storm and then jumped out of it. So it felt like it didn't really give us much of a like advantage. It was just kind of this like nice little, I don't know, thing to stumble upon in the game.
Yeah, it got rid of the like unpleasant part of the game, like in a way where you're just like, I don't know if we're going to make it. And you're just like running.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, do I really want to spend the next 5 or 10 minutes just like getting chased by a storm? I don't know.
Okay. So also speaking of golf stuff, at the golf course, you can actually like play golf now. And I noticed there's all sorts of new sports dynamics that I don't think were there before. Like you can kick balls or like shoot hoops, right? Like you can shoot like basketballs. Did you try any of that stuff?
I haven't tried it yet because you have to unlock the emotes.
Oh, and so I didn't know it was emote based. That's cool.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I know, I think I saw some articles when it first came out and they made it sound like it was like this super structured thing. But which is cool though. Like you can go to the golf course and you can do the emote. And if you make it in the hole, it like, I think explodes with confetti or something. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun, but yeah, I think I was reading articles and I was like, so I don't really understand how this is going to work with the game. Like can people kill you when you're playing golf? But yeah, it turns out it's just like this fun little thing you can do like when you're in the middle of a game, or maybe you're having a frustrating session and like, you just want to play golf for a little bit with your squad.
Another one is they changed the last like 7, 8, 9, those storm circles where they don't actually close to the center of the circle anymore. They can close to any point within the circle. So it adds like a little bit of randomness to the end game. And I think that's very good because you can kind of camp the end game. I've noticed, like, I think we were talking about this the other night, but like people aren't really building up tall forts in the end game anymore. Like, and just holding there, it seems like the sort of gameplay has changed away from that a little bit, and this seems like another step to avoid that sort of end game, because if you don't know where the circle is really going to close within the circle, you have to kind of just stay mobile and stay fresh.
I actually think I was reading about it a little bit too. I haven't experienced this yet, but I think those final circles can actually go into the storm again, so they're like not even in that like main circle, so it like goes, it's completely unpredictable.
That's cool.
A little bit. I don't think it's like super far from where you are or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're right. It's to prevent people from camping or getting on top of a hill and just building a massive fort with snipers and rockets and pretty much just like waiting to win the game.
Next topic, they did a update to the Nintendo Switch version of the game and added gyro controls. I think, you go first.
I am not a huge fan of gyro controls. I think the only game I've played with that is Splatoon on Switch, and I couldn't do it. I'm sure if I did it, I played for a while, I would get used to it. But I don't like it, so I don't think I will enjoy that in Fortnite. But I did see that they also added auto fire on mobile. So if your cursor goes over someone and they're within range, your gun will automatically fire, which I think that combined with the gyro controls could be kind of helpful for mobile players.
Yeah, I think gyro controls are only for Switch, and the auto shoot is only for mobile from my understanding.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
But I think the gyro controls thing is interesting for people who play Splatoon. There's like a bunch of people who play Splatoon and they actually really like the gyro controls for it. So for them, I think it's like an easy transition to get into Fortnite a little bit more so. But me personally, not a gyro fan. I never feel in control of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most of the Splatoon players who are really good ended up using the gyro controls. Yeah. So maybe it will be better for like cross-platform play, where it will give Switch players like a little bit of a chance, I guess, against other consoles or PCs.
Yeah, that always blows my mind. But yeah, like the best sort of Splatoon players play with gyro. It's crazy.
Yeah.
One more topic here is that they added something I am a super fan of, which is additional color blindness controls to the game. They've always had like really good color blindness controls where you can kind of pull this slider for your type of color blindness and add as much of the effect as you want into it. But now they actually show you the item colors right below there, so you can see how much like color contrast is between them for you, and you'll like be able to set it just like perfectly, like how much you need in order to have that. So I thought that was very thoughtful, and I thought it was an excellent addition to the already good color controls.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think I saw a screenshot of it, and it was one of those things where it was like, oh, I'm surprised they didn't have it. It was like one of those nice additions where you're like, this is great, this should have been here already, thank you for adding it.
Anything else about Fortnite?
I just want to say, like, since it is a new season, I've really enjoyed how they transition the seasons, because there's all this hype, and then like some crazy thing will happen, like with the transition from season 4 to 5, like this rocket got launched into the air and then it smashed against some ceiling. So it was like kind of like you're in a snow globe or the Truman Show or something. And people are already starting to see things and they're thinking about what season 6 will be. And so I think from one of the cracks in the sky, they think that there's some sand falling from it that's going to end up filling one of the lakes. And that's going to be like a new thing that happens to change the map even more. So I really like how like far out they seem to be planning for these seasons, which keeps me excited and engaged in the game.
Yeah, I'm beyond impressed with how they pull off the sort of lore stuff. Like, to me, it feels a bit magical because no one really knows what's going on. And it's really like not that important, right? Like there's what we're talking about is just like map changes and like new items and stuff like that. It could be done very practically, but like pulling it into this like sense of mystery is really like uncommon in our sort of like culture at this point, because you can usually find out information about the thing so easily. But they are pretty like secretive successfully about what's coming, and the speculation around these things builds like a community excitement. It's very impressive, very well done.
It kind of makes it fun and playful, I think, in a way that if like they just like dropped a new season and it was like, okay, like here's read through the dev notes if you want to see what's changed. I really appreciate that about the game.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Jason. Thank you very much, Nathan. It's been a pleasure talking to you about these games, and I hope you liked this episode of Games UX. Calling it the Week in Review, and gonna try to do it every week for a while, see how it goes. So if you have any suggestions, let me know. My name is Charlie Dietz. You can find me on Twitter at Charlie Dietz, and I'll put everyone else's Twitter in the show notes, and have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks.